Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Morning. You know the video you just saw of our volunteers Joanna and Esther at Feng Shan? It's a video that really resonates with me. Steady Readers is a ministry that really resonates with me. And it's for a reason which I think even a lot of my friends here don't realize. When I was a young boy, I struggled with English. I struggled very badly. In fact, when I took my very first English test in primary one, I flunked it. But thanks to supportive dad and mom and very good teachers, including one who turned out to be the school librarian, so she kept bringing me to the library and developed a love of reading in me, I improved over time. Got through the school exams Sometime later, I found myself in the U.S. studying for my postgraduate degree. So ending up in the U.S. doing my postgraduate degree is relevant because it was there that I think my discipleship journey changed. Because I come from a Christian family. I'm a second-generation Christian, so I was baptized as an infant. I was just joking with Pastor Kai that I'm a bit jealous of those who are going through baptism today because you will have a memory of your baptism. I have no memory. I was 14 months old, although my mother assured me that I cried throughout service. But, you know, starting out as a child who struggled with English and then going on to do my postgrad in the U.S., I was in a U.S. city where there was a lot of homeless people, a lot. On my way to school, when I went back home to my apartment, I would keep seeing the homeless on the streets. And day by day, as I walk past them, I sense the Lord putting a question into my heart. Who are your neighbors? Who are your neighbors? You know, last week, those of you who came, Pastor Kai preached about loving our neighbors, right? So God asked me this question, who are your neighbors? And of course, the answer is, these are my neighbors, these homeless folks whom I didn't know how to talk to, I didn't know how to approach. So I ended up joining the homeless ministry of the church I was worshiping in. And then I came home to Singapore. And when I came home to Singapore, I wanted to continue to help the needy. And, well, one thing led to another, and I ended up in Covenant, and I ended up volunteering with New Life. And here I am today. If you've been paying attention to what our church has been doing, we've been doing a series. And for this period, we're talking about loving our neighbors, caring for the needy. We can't do everything. You know, one of our fellow board members said, not every need is a calling, but there are things we are called to do, and there are things we've been good in doing, and we want to keep doing it. And today we invite you, if God moves you, to join us in doing it. Before we begin, let me lead us to turn to Isaiah 58, because this is going to be a framing passage for the word today, Isaiah 58. I invite you to turn to your hard copy or digital Bibles, Isaiah 58. Let me read for us. Cry aloud. Do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, they delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments, they delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundation of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Father, as we come today, reveal to us through your word your heartbeat, Lord. Help us not to take away more knowledge. Help us not to walk away feeling more theologically smart. But help us to leave this service drawn closer to you, looking more at your face and understanding deeper your love for us so that we are really changed, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Elder Johnny, who's preaching at Covenant East, and Eddie Tan, who's preaching at Bukit Panjang, which is where I come from, a few weeks ago, we were discussing what should be the framing passage for today's sharing of the word. And after praying and discussing, we all agreed that it's Isaiah chapter 58. Now, Isaiah 58 can be a tricky passage. If mishandled, the sermon can come across as very judgmental, very hard-hitting, very self-righteous. But today, as we look at these verses, I ask that we try to hear the heartbeat of God. It does have some hard-hitting things to say, but let's try to hear the heartbeat of God. And I want to begin by talking about how Isaiah 58 tells us that caring for the needy reflects the character of God. Caring for the needy reflects the character of God. Because the context of Isaiah 58, which is about true fasting and false fasting, is God telling the Israelites what really matters from his point of view. What really matters from his point of view. Let's look at verses 6, 7, and 10. Verses 6, 7, and 10. Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Verse 10, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. God has a very strong concern for the needy. If you read the Bible, I was just doing some research, and depending on which piece of research you look at, there's anywhere from 2,000 to 2001 verses in the Bible, which talks about helping the poor, anywhere from 2000 to 2001. That's a lot of emphasis. Here's another example from Psalm 146, verses 7 to 9. Who executes justice for the oppressed? Who gives food to the hungry? The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. I was very privileged when I was working in the U.S. 13, 14 years ago to attend Redeemer, where Pastor Tim Keller, the late Pastor Tim Keller, was preaching, and I heard him preach three times. And he's a man with a strong sense of discipleship and social justice. He wrote an article more than 10 years ago, I think. The title of the article is "What is Doing Justice?" And in it, he points out the biblical writers introduce God as a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. That's from Psalm 68. So our God is a God who identifies with the powerless. He takes up their cause. In the same article, he says something else, which answers this question: if caring for the needy reflects the character of God, what are the implications for those of us who call ourselves children and disciples of God? And Keller wrote, "If God's character includes a zeal for justice that leads him to have the tenderest love and closest involvement with the socially weak, then what should God's people be like? Us? They must be people who are likewise passionately concerned for the weak and vulnerable." God injected his concern for justice into the very heart of Israel's worship and community life with these texts. So he quotes from Deuteronomy 27:19, "Cursed be anyone who withholds the justice due to the immigrant, the fatherless, and the widow." And all the people say, "Amen." So, caring for the needy reflects the character of God. But Isaiah 58 also highlights a problem that we as disciples can face. And I certainly faced it. And the problem is this: we end up seeking a formula instead of the Father. We end up seeking a formula instead of the Father. And what I mean is this: we can end up seeking a formula that we apply to receive blessings. And after that happens, we just get on with living our lives, the rest of our lives as we want. It's a mindset where we expect to insert religious input and hope to get the desired output in terms of blessings for ourselves. And we do this instead of a genuine relationship with our Father. Let's look at Isaiah 58, verses 3 to 5. So look at the, not just the words, but look at the tone of these verses, of the questions. "Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure, oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord?" So verses 3 to 5 is a critique of empty religious practices, where fasting and humbling of ourselves is accompanied by the seeking of our own pleasure and even oppressing workers. And I have to say, having been involved in charity work for more than 25 years, it is possible for even those of us, we believe we are doing charity work, But when our heart posture is not right, we end up doing the right things for the wrong motives. Then how? You know, thanks, Jeremiah, you've laid out a problem, so what's the solution? The way is a different way, and the way is the cross of Christ. Let us turn to Isaiah 53, and specifically verses 4 to 7. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. This morning I ask us to pause for just a few moments to remember afresh what Christ did for us. The trial he went through was unfair. He was brutally tortured, and he was killed in a slow, humiliating, and peaceful manner. What's the answer? Christ's love inspires us. Christ's sacrificial compassion compels us. And this is why caring for the needy is not a church CCA, it's not an optional extra, and it's certainly not a formula for blessing. It is what we do in response to Christ's love. It is the outcome of a relationship. As we realize His grace, it flows into us, and then it overflows from us to others. And the late Tim Keller, in a sermon, had a wonderful phrase to describe this. He called it, doing it from beauty, not duty. Doing it from beauty, not duty. We are moved by the beauty of what Christ did for us on the cross. And we do good deeds out of that beauty, not out of duty. The problem, of course, is that we often forget. You know, it could be because our minds are distracted or because we are in difficult situations. That's why we all need reminders. That's why we need to come back to the Word again, whether it's Isaiah 53 or the Gospel accounts of His final hours. That's why Good Friday is important. That's why Holy Communion is important, because we are forgetful and we need to remember. I know I forgot. I accepted Christ consciously when I was 13. So I was baptized at 14 months because I came from an Anglican church. Just in case you're wondering, how come he accepted Christ at 13 but he was baptized at 14 months? So I was in an Anglican church. I went through infant baptism at 14 months, but I accepted Christ myself at 13. But if you were to ask me, what was my discipleship journey? And I have to give you an honest answer. For the first 20 years of my discipleship journey, I was a very performance-based Christian. You know, got to do this, got to do that, got to serve in this ministry, serve in that ministry. And I serve in a lot of ministries. But you know, the moment I felt closest to God, the moment I felt most real as a Christian was when I was in the U.S. in a not-too-bright basement with a couple of homeless guys sharing with them about the gospel. I felt most real when I was outside that train station giving out bread to them, chatting with them, asking them, how are you? You know, when you speak to the homeless, it's very interesting. One week, they're speaking to you very neat and clean, and the next week, you speak to them again, they could have just come off a high on drugs. And I used to wonder when I spoke to them, should I see what they're doing with their hands in their pockets just in case something is sharp inside? But it was in these moments that I felt most real as a Christian. Because in those moments, that circle of accepting Christ's love and having it flow out to the homeless was complete. Now perhaps we need to also ask ourselves, what happens when we pour ourselves out for others? Well, Keller says that in history, this is what happened. When we pour ourselves out for the poor, this gets the world's notice. Even when Christians were a small minority in the Roman Empire, their startling charity to the poor evoked great respect from the populace. Now this morning, perhaps for some of us, what we really need is to remember the beauty of what Christ did for us. Yes, today is New Life Friends Day. Of course, you know, as chairman of the New Life Board, I'll be extremely happy if after this we get a lot of people volunteering for the ministries. But I think there's something more fundamental that God wants to address. For some of us, maybe it's not about volunteering for ministry. For some of us, whether you're here or whether you're watching online, maybe what we need is a return to Christ Himself. Maybe what we need is going back to Him and internalizing afresh what Christ did for us. And for some of us, maybe today is the first time you're attending a church service, whether in person or online, and all this is new to you. What's this guy talking about? And you'd like to find out more about what Christ did and why He did it. May I encourage you to approach the ministry staff after service, and we'd be happy to share more with you. Now, like I said, today is New Life Friends Day, and it's a good opportunity for us to share with you the testimonies of what volunteers have been doing. Just now, you already saw the video of Joanna and Esther. And I'd like to share with you the next testimony from our Bless to Bless ministry. So that's Joanna, and I really love what she said. God loves us, and we love God, and when you love God, you just want to serve the people in whatever capacity. So that was Steady Readers. Now we move on to Bless to Bless, and the story of our volunteer from Bless to Bless. This is Joan, and that's her husband, Alex. They were actually here in first service, and I asked her to stand and be recognized. Joan's been volunteering with Bless to Bless since we started in 2021. And she saw it as an opportunity to befriend needy families and give them practical help. Now, in 2021, Joan was matched with a lady whom we're going to call Madam Chani. It's not a real name. So they connected. And they found that they had this shared experience of being mothers. And they became fast friends, which was interesting because actually there was a bit of a language barrier. But they became fast friends. They maintained contact with each other. And they've been paired together for every subsequent run of Bless to Bless. And they look forward to this annual outing together. So Joan invited Madam Chani's family to a home for dinner. They shared a meal together. And it was there that Madam Chani shared with her the struggles in a marriage and the financial struggles in raising children who are foreigners. Now, as a foreigner herself, Joan was able to resonate with the struggles and felt that she wanted to help Madam Chani in whatever way she can. So she did. She took a series of specific steps. In the second run of B2B, she realized that Madam Chani's eldest child had just finished PSLE, was about to enter secondary school. This was an unfamiliar period for the child, so Joan volunteered to help the child with the transition. She brought the child to school, she helped to buy the school books, she helped to buy the uniforms, and she also taught the child how to commute from home to school. And then when Madam Chani's family was moving house and the kids didn't have a home to come home to, Joan opened a home and welcomed the kids to come over after school. Over time, Madam Chani became interested to attend the CEFC, our Covenant Mandarin service. She joined one of the Chinese services, CGs, and I'm very glad to tell you, and there she accepted Christ. Before we leave the Bless to Bless testimony, I want to share what Joan said. Can we show the next slide where Joan shares with us what she said? She said, God has a special place in His heart for the needy. He is delighted when His children take time to help those who are in need in our community. As we sow seeds of blessings to these families, we will also experience immeasurable joy watching these seeds blossom in God's time. What a wonderful testimony. Now, for the next testimony, it is ultimately uplifting, but I should probably warn you that there will be mention of self-harm in this testimony. So this is about Madame Bino. Madame Bino is the lady on your left. She's the lady with the glasses. The lady next to her is Xiu Ru, whom I'll mention later. And next to her is Ming Zhou Lao Shi. He teaches Shufa. I'm going to share with you Madame Bino's backstory because it's very relevant to what happened later. So Madame Bino and her husband retired early in their 50s. Her husband was retrenched. He was forced to take early retirement. His health declined, and he suffered from depression. So Madame Bino left her own job to look after the husband. At one point, her husband had to be admitted to IMH, that's the Institute of Mental Health. Then he finally recovered enough to be discharged, and Madame Bino was actually very thankful. And she feared sending him to IMH because when she was in secondary two, her 19-year-old sister was sent to IMH after she was discharged. The sister committed suicide. One night, Madame Bino's husband told her to come early to bed and rest. Now, Madame Bino thought, it's a bit strange, it's a bit unusual, but she told him, go and rest first, you know. I'll come and join you later. The next morning, the couple were going to go down to join other seniors for their morning exercise. They got to the lift. Then Madame Bino's husband said, oh, I forgot my towel. So Madame Bino said, okay, you know, here are the keys. Told him, you know what, I'll go downstairs. I'll reserve a spot for you. But when she got downstairs, she heard a loud thud. Her husband had jumped from the HDB flat. She was shocked. She collapsed on the spot. After her husband died in 2020, Madame Bino became a solitary person. And she has told an interviewer subsequently, my days became very hollow. I had no consciousness of the days passing. And then the COVID-19 pandemic hit, and with that came the circuit breaker. And Madame Bino said, I was like the walking dead. I will wake up every morning. I stare at the ceiling. I don't know what to do. I walk around for a while outside. I try to avoid everyone I know. And when I get home, I just don't feel like cooking or eating. So over time, she grew dejected and thin. Her daughter invited her to live with them, but they had to go to work and she still felt empty. Now, she sought some help from NUH. They got her linked up with a counselor, and the counselor helped to some extent. But for 1.5 years, she still felt as though she didn't know whether or why she was alive. Then in end 2021, something interesting happened. She happened to be standing at the bus stop at Fajar Road. It's very near Block 419, where New Life Fajar Hub is. And she noticed there was a group of people milling around, and she was curious enough to walk over and ask, oh, hey, guys, what's happening? And she found out it was a Chinese calligraphy class led by senior volunteers. Now, it turns out Madame Bino has a deep affinity for Chinese culture, and I was told this includes martial arts and Teochew opera. So she registered for the Shufa class on the spot. And I love the way she describes joining the New Life Fajar Hub. She says, I felt like I walked into a church. The center was lively and the people there were kind. It was here that my life was completely changed. So she took part in all the active aging programs. She made many friends, including 6 close confidants whom she could now share her heart with. And with Xiu Ru's encouragement, she started attending church. She joined Xiu Ru's CG, and she accepted Christ. And now she attends BPJ's Mandarin service. Of course, you can guess the story doesn't end there. She became a volunteer herself. And now she helps other seniors learn how to stay healthy and active through exercises and other wellness tips. She has been filled with so much joy and purpose that even her own daughters have noticed the change in her. She told the interviewer, I really enjoy Wednesdays because I wake up feeling that I have a goal, I have a purpose, and I channel this positive energy freely to those around me. And I just like the way she ended, near the end of the interview, she said this. She said, people happily tell their children about me. You know, they don't even know my name. They just say, that one, the one with the white hair who's always laughing a lot, you know. And she said, some even call me an angel. Actually, she spoke in Chinese, so she said, 他们有些人还叫我说我是天使. You know, we've had many dedicated New Life volunteers over the years. They've been praised in various ways. I think today is the first time one of them has been called an angel. Thank you to Madam Bino with Silver Care, Joan and Alex with Bless to Bless, and Joanna and Esther with Steady Readers. Now, if you feel moved, if you feel inspired by what they have done and wonder if you can serve like them, here's a slide showing you opportunities with our neighbors here in Woodlands. As you can see, we need quite a number of volunteers for Bless the Blessed, for Steady Readers, as well as for Silver Care. There's a booth, there's a New Life booth downstairs, and for those of you who are watching this online, you can visit the New Life website to learn more about volunteering opportunities. Maybe I could invite the worship team to come on the platform as I end. Now, some of you may be saying or thinking and don't want to say it, you know, thanks Jeremiah, but don't know if I can do it. I know how you feel, or rather I remember how you feel. Because this was me back in 2006 when I was doing my postgrad in the US. Now, I felt the call to serve the homeless very clearly. They were around me, and I knew God was telling me, step out of your comfort zone, just do it. But I had zero experience. Just didn't know what to do. So I took baby steps. The first Sunday, I hung out with the homeless ministry team at a train station that's very near our church where we worship. And I gave out sandwiches. I gave out drinks. I gave out fruit. And over time, I learned how to speak to and listen to the homeless. And I learned that, you know, there's the four D's of homelessness in the U.S. What is homelessness caused by? It's caused by debt. It's caused by divorce. It's caused by drugs. It's caused by depression. And I learned how to engage them and understand. And you'd be surprised who are the homeless in the U.S. I met PhDs and I met other master's degrees holders. So I got to know them. Then the first time I went to a homeless ministry Bible study on a Wednesday night, again, I didn't know what to do. They didn't know me enough to entrust me with a Bible study yet. So I stood around thinking, what am I supposed to do? And I found something to do because we usually serve dinner before Bible study starts. And there was orange juice and someone had spilled orange juice. So to make myself useful, I grabbed the kitchen towel that was near me and I just started wiping the floor. So that's how I got my start in ministry to the homeless. When we are willing to start in small ways, could be by giving out sandwiches, could be by wiping orange juice from the floor, God can and does use us. Many years ago, one of my favorite Christian authors, G.K. Chesterton, wrote this. Angels can fly because they can take themselves lightly. Angels can fly because they can take themselves lightly. In the years to come, I look forward to hearing more stories, your stories, about the angels of Covenant EFC. Let us pray. Father, this Sunday, as we gather, as we have worshipped you, as we have read your word, as we've heard the testimonies, I pray that your Spirit will move in us, Lord, and it will move in different ways for different of us in different stages of the discipleship journey. But I pray that for every single person, we will walk out from this service closer to you, Lord. Closer to you, for it is when we are close to you that we can hear the Master's heartbeat and follow where you want us to go. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Shall we rise as we respond to this song, in Christ alone? In Christ our hope is found. He is the one who strengthens us and empowers us to do all that He calls us to do. Let us fix our eyes on Him.
You had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.